Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Alleluia.
Our text today is found in the book of Mark. Mark the 12th chapter, verse 29 beginning. There the Bible reads, "And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." That commandment is so very fundamental to what God wants us to be. You could truly say that Mark the 12th chapter, verse 29 and 30, is the hub of true and vital Christianity. Christianity is not a title that we wear. It's a lifestyle. It's service with the whole man. Every sin that man commits is violation of the command that we just read to love our Lord. When you and I fail to love God in any of the aspects mentioned, whether it be our heart, our soul, our mind, or our strength, sin enters into our life. We are to love God because He is one Lord. That is, there is no other God beside Him. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians the 4th chapter and verse 6, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Paul also makes a comment that is recorded in Acts the 17th chapter that I'd like to read to you. Acts 17, beginning in verse 23. "For I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temple with hands, made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell upon the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. And also some of your own poets have said, For we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising." There the Apostle Paul, making a speech when he was at Mars Hill. Mars Hill, who had a statue recognizing an unknown God. The men of Athens were those men that worshiped many gods and had many idols, and just to be on the safe side, they had a statue to the unknown God, and it's to that statue that Paul says, "You worship ignorantly with this concept, a God that I'm going to tell you about." I want to consider with you how man can love God with all of his heart and all of his soul, all of his strength, and all of his mind. When does a man love God with all of his heart? Well, the answer to that is when we love nothing by comparison like we love God. When we're ready to give up anything for God. When man is aware of the price that has to be paid. When man is aware of the cost that must be paid. Then man makes a decision for God. That's loving God with all of one's heart. I call your attention to a passage of Scripture found in Luke the 14th chapter, beginning in verse 25. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned to them and said, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. We have to count the cost. We have to evaluate that which the commitment takes with the rewards attendant thereto, and make up our mind whether or not to serve God. When we count the cost and we make a decision for God, that's loving God with all of our heart. In 1 John 5 and verse 3, we read, For theirs is a love of God, that we keep his commandments. So, keeping God's commandments is an inseparable part of loving God. Let's talk about some specifics now of how man loves God with all of his heart. First of all, there may come a time when we must give up our relatives. In Matthew the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 34, Jesus said, Think not that I have come to send peace upon earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. A time may come in our life, in our attempts to be dedicated to God, where disagreements will arise with others within our family. We may hear people say things like, if it was good enough for mom, or if it was good enough for grandma, it's good enough for me. But I would tell you that in every case, the rule for a Christian is God first. I want you now to look at Abraham to illustrate that statement. In Genesis, the 22nd chapter, beginning in verse 1, there's a story that is unsurpassed in a man's dedication to God. Now it came to pass that after these things, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. And then he said, Now take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and two of them went off together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And then he said, Here I am, my son. And then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. And they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar, and there placed wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And so he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went, and he took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. There'll come a time when the test will lie before us, our family or God. A Christian, one who gives all of his heart, one who gives all of his strength and mind, one who loves God beyond anything else, will choose God. At times, that loving God may involve our possessions. In Matthew 19 and verse 29, Jesus said, And everyone that hath forsaken houses and or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands in my name's sake or for my name's sake shall inherit eternal life. It's easy, isn't it, to allow possessions to stand in the way of our service to God. But in Matthew 19, verse 22, we read, But the young man heard that saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Indeed, we must ask ourselves the question, are we loving God with all of our heart when our desire for our possessions takes time and energies away from us that should be dedicated to God? That is not to suggest that a Christian put himself into abject poverty. It's saying that you and I must be willing to give up any of the possessions that we have if they stand in the way of our loving God. That includes jobs that do not allow for regular worship. That includes homes and automobiles that leave no money for contribution to the work of the Lord. Ananias and Sapphira are a good illustration of that point. In Acts, the fifth chapter, beginning in verse 1, the Bible reads, But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things, and the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out and buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon the church and all who heard these things. Stealing from God is a dangerous thing to do. Misrepresenting before God is a dangerous thing to do. There are times when you and I must be willing to give up our possessions in order to love God the way we should. Loving God with all of our heart may involve giving up some pleasures that we enjoy, some sinful pleasures. Speaking of Moses, in Hebrews the 11th chapter, verse 25 and 26, The Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Pleasures of sin tempt all human beings. If sin was not pleasurable, it would not be a temptation. Those pleasures, however, are temporary, not permanent. Christians seek the permanent. Christians seek an abode in heaven with everlasting relationship with those who have gone before and with God that we love. David said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are the pleasures forevermore." Psalm 16 and verse 11. Those pleasures that are forevermore outweigh significantly the temporary pleasures of sin for a season. Paul said in talking about sin in Romans the 6th chapter and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Well, to love God with all of our heart means giving up a little prestige at times. Everyone seeks praise of their fellow man to some degree. John said in John 12, verse 42, beginning, "Nevertheless, among the chief priests also many believed on him. But because the Pharisees did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." What was their problem? Their problem was they had some prestige and they didn't want to give it up. It's the same problem that King Saul had. He couldn't stand the loss of face and the praise that was given to that young man named David. In 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, "And the woman answered, women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom?" Prestige, a dangerous thing. Each one of us need to remember what Paul said in Romans the 12th chapter in verse 3. There we read, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Certainly that applies to everyone. It especially, I think, applies to those that are tempted to feel like there's something special, like preachers, for instance, like those preachers that have jobs in prestige locations, those who do writings and hold revival meetings. It's very easy for a preacher, when listening to the compliments from well-meaning brethren, to think that he's higher than he ought to be. And I would suggest to you that one cannot love God while thinking that he is higher than God is. You and I should have the attitude of Samuel. He said in the third chapter of 1 Samuel, "Speak, thy servant heareth." Well, why would we give up relatives or possessions or pleasures or prestige? Why would we be willing to do that? Why should we love God with all of our heart? Well, first of all, we should have that kind of deep commitment to God because he gave his only Son for our benefit, John 3 and verse 16. Because Christ, in fact, gave himself, in Ephesians 5 and verse 2 we read, "And walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." When you and I think of loving God with all of our heart, we naturally think of the cross. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter and verse 2, the Bible says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Also consider, if you would, Philippians, the second chapter, verse 7 and 8. But made himself of no reputation. That's Paul talking about Jesus. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's what Jesus was willing to do for you and I. Talking about loving God with all of our heart, a subject that should be dear to the heart of every Christian. Do you love God with all of your heart? I'd like to put a little break in our lesson right here and consider with you next Sunday, Lord willing, how God should be in relationship to our soul, how we should love God with all of our soul, and how we would love God with all of our strength and with all of our mind. We've spent our time today studying how to love God with all of our heart, and it's been a beneficial study for me, and I pray that it has been for you also. So the question again, do we love God with all of our heart? Our actions will answer that question. I pray that your relationship with God is pleasing to Him, the Almighty. We gather together at the Monte Vista Church of Christ every Lord's Day morning to worship our God, to display the love that we have in our hearts for our God. We sing praises to His name. We gather around the table and partake of the Lord's Supper in commemoration of the great sacrifice that Jesus made by coming to earth and dying so that you and I might have forgiveness of our sins. During our worship service, we pray to God. We express from our very heart those things for which we are grateful. We praise Him for what He is and what He has done. We beseech Him on the behalf of those who need His aid in some special way. We pray in our worship services to God. It's a very special part, a very reverent part of our worship services. So we pray and we sing and we partake of the Lord's Supper. We also give of our means in order that the work of the Lord might be accomplished. That giving of our means is done by the members of our congregation. And if you were to come and to visit with us, you would not be asked to give of your money. We, as members of the congregation that meets at 40th Street in Monte Vista, have that obligation, and we take care of that. So we invite you to come, and we invite you to participate in the prayers, and we invite you to participate in the singing. We invite you to come and worship with us, to study with us a lesson from God's Word that will enable us to be more mature in our lives as Christians. The road to glory, the road to victory, the road to heaven is a narrow road, the Bible says. It's a road that not many walk because of the commitment that must be made. There is another road. It's called the broad road in the book of Matthew. It's a broad road that leads to destruction. And all those that do not have the relationship with God that is outlined in the New Testament are walking that road, and at one day will face the dire consequences of not loving God enough to be obedient as His children. I pray that this week you and I, in our efforts to love God, will let a bright light shine for those that are around us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7.
Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.